our product is good or not, because everyone says it's good right now. We have this amazing NPS score, right? This like rating from our community. But when we start asking them to pay us, that's when they're really going to tell us what's up and if it's good or not, right?
Right.
So what better filter? And so we went from being free to charging $35 a month for our product. Mm-hmm. And the night before we flipped the switch, I had like a bottle of red wine. It was like 1 a.m. I was on the floor of the conference room. Like, we're going to flip the switch tomorrow. And if no one subscribes, like, I don't have a company. I'm like telling everyone we're going to pack it up. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. And we've done the testing and we've asked all the people and we, you know, we've done all these polls. But like tomorrow, they're going to pay or they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. And there were certain people that didn't think that anyone would pay and that I was a fool. And I was like, well, then I'm going to stick my neck out. And
there's only one way to find out.
There's only one way to find out. And I, like, now looking back, it's like, oh, well, of course it was successful. But I'm telling you, that fear that I felt just like drinking that wine, like, maybe this is it. Maybe this is, we got to pack it up.
Yeah.
Was real. And it was so scary. And I think I was the only one who thought that it was the right path.
Welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, a safe space for ambitious beauty industry creatives to have real talk, get authentic answers, and practical tools to grow their businesses. Join me every week as me and my special guests reveal the keys to longevity and success in the beauty industry, from the ups and downs of their journey to the nitty-gritty of their struggles and triumphs. We're spilling the tea on it all, and most importantly, having fun while doing it. You ready? Hey, what's up? It's your best friend in beauty, Aquia Robinson. Welcome back to another episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast. I am so happy to have you here, and I hope you're listening to this episode in high spirits and in good health. Now, on today's episode, I have the pleasure of having Melody McCloskey in the Friends in Beauty guest chair. So Melody is the CEO of Style Seat, and a visionary reshaping the beauty and wellness industry, empowering women-led businesses. So spanning 16,000 cities since its inception in 2011, StyleSeat has facilitated 200 million plus appointments, generating over $12 billion in revenue. Her dynamic marketplace empowers beauty professionals and offers clients seamless access to diverse services. So welcome to the Friends of Beauty podcast, Melody. I'm like so excited. I'm like nervous.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for including me. This is awesome. I'm pumped.
Yay. I'm so excited to dive into it. I told you we're going to start off with some icebreakers first so the Friends of Beauty audience can get to know you a little bit outside of what you do professionally for your brand.
Yeah.
The first one, just give us three random facts about you.
Oh my gosh. Three random facts. First is that I'm studying Mandarin language.
Oh, cool.
Okay. My two little girls speak Mandarin. They go to a Chinese speaking school. So I realized my husband and I turned to each other one day and we're like, oh my God, they're going to be able to talk shit about us to each other. Like, so we're going to learn it too. So that's so probably funny. One fact. Second fact. You know, I like trashy television. That might not be a surprise. I think some people don't admit it, but I totally do. I'm all up in The Love is Blind.
Yes,
I'm
girl.
Up in Married at First Sight. We've got like Real Housewives on the roster. We've got a bunch of that stuff. That's like a true love of mine. I think it's okay to love all of that nonsense.
Uh-huh.
And then what's the third thing? I have a huge dog. I have a 110-pound dog, and he is like the love of my life. He's a Doberman.
He's
a Doberman, and he's the biggest dog I've ever seen. We adopted him, and he's massive, but he's the best.
I love your random facts. You learned in Mandarin. You love some good trashy reality TV like me. I'm all into like reality TV because most of those people that are on those shows, I don't know anybody like that in real life. So it's just like pure entertainment for me because I'm like, do people really act like this? But I was all into Love is Blind. I just watched the reunion
season. Oh my God. Married at First Sight is the like beautiful one, you know what I mean? Where they're just trying to, there's two people that are just really trying to be there for the right reasons and make it. Like, Love is Blind is not that. It's, you know, there's another twist and flavor to it.
It's like, I wasn't ready to get married.
But it's fun.
But why did you come on the show if you weren't ready to get married?
Or like you have a secret girlfriend back home. Like, there's so much nonsense. But it's fun.
Yeah, weird. So what is, so being a mom, being a wife, business owner, all of these things, what does self-care look like for you?
Okay, a couple of things. It's a great question. I love to garden. I have to have my little projects that really feed me and make me happy. I love plants. I love garden. I like all throughout the wintertime, I have to have like my little seeds in the garage. I have like my little seeds that I'm growing and nourishing and plants. Like every time I go to the grocery store or out, I come home with a plant. It just gives me joy. And then I take care of it for years. I don't know. So that's really, really big for me. And I love showing my girls. I have a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. If I have like 20 minutes in between calls or in between meetings, I'll take one outside and we'll just like walk around the yard and we'll point out the bugs and the plants and the flowers and what's happening with the seasons and just little things. I want them to appreciate nature and notice what's around them and notice when the seasons change and love picking up bugs and like being out in the dirt. So
I love that.
You know, that makes me happy. It's little things. It has nothing to do with, you know, big rituals or routines. You read these articles about like, you know, CEOs that say like, I wake up and I drink lemon water and you know, it's this whole long list of things.
I have a person that massages my feet every morning and
good on you, you know, good on you. For me, it's like, I want my cup of coffee. I want quiet in the morning. I let my dog out. I love to be in nature. I love to just like one-on-one with my girls. I love to cook them breakfast in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know, getting them ready for school is another thing. That's like a different pace. I love the drive to school and I love talking to my 5-year-old in the car on the way to school.
Yeah.
But it's just these little things that like, I try and be as present as possible and not think about, okay, what do I have to do? As soon as I get home, I've got a call with this person. Mm-hmm. You know, what do I have on my plate? I try and really be present with her. With both of my girls, because we'll dive into that in an hour or whatever, and it's going to be intense. And it's, you know, on the way home from the school drop off, like I'm calling my assistant and we're going through everything that we're going to talk about and do that day and that week. But I try and really be as present as possible with the girls because, you know, my youngest is 2 and that's such a magical age and she's never going to be that again. And
ever.
They grow so fast. It's precious.
You seem like you really enjoy being a mom.
Yeah, which is crazy because before I had kids, I did not want to hold your baby. I had no interest. I was so annoyed at kids on airplanes, not trying to be, not like rude or overtly annoyed, just in my head, just like, oh my God. I never changed a diaper before I had my first child. Not one. No interest.
Too many diapers.
Plenty of opportunities. No interest. No, thank you. And now that I've had kids, like something has opened up in me. I don't know why. I did not expect it. And I will change any kid's diaper. I will bounce your baby on an airplane for an hour. Give me the kids, bring them over. I'm always like, send them over to my house. Cause if I'm watching 2, I might as well be watching 5, you know, it's the same. So I don't know. That was definitely an unexpected change in life and something that brings me a lot of joy.
Yeah, I love that. What do people always tell you that you're good at aside from what you do professionally?
I'm good at solving problems. And I am probably known in my friend group for being like, boom. It takes a lot of energy for me to make what is in my head come out.
Mm-hmm.
The way it might be received positively. Like, you know, there's a lot of people that are like wonderful and nice and polite and sweet. And I feel those feelings. I'm not like a not nice person, but I am always going to the heart of something or the most direct thing. And so if my girlfriends want to know what's up, or they want to like actually hear the truth about what's going on in their life, or something or a business thing or a finance thing or a whatever, right? They come to me. And if they don't want to hear that, if they want to hear the soft piece, they usually go to someone else in the group.
Is that like
so
a
for
natural
better,
thing?
For worse.
Is that like a zodiac thing or like that's just who you are?
I am a Leo. So, you know, I think it's not a zodiac thing. Maybe I'm not super into that, but it's also probably something that after having run a company for so long, it's also been like something that's been strengthened. Like in my day, there's just so many things that happen, whether we're talking about software, my next meeting will be about marketing. My next meeting will be about finance. My next meeting will be about preparing for the board meeting. And then we've got, you know, something over here where we're thinking about potentially doing buying a company or, you know, whatever, launching a new product line or whatever that might be. I have to context switch so much and I have to be so organized in my day. So I have everyone send me the proposal or the data that we're going to review in the meeting a day ahead of time. I review it all the day before. Gives me time to think about it so that I can be productive in those meetings.
Yeah.
And really come with a thoughtful response to have a thoughtful discussion. Cause my brain works a little bit. I have to do all my deep processing like ahead of time. I can't do it in a real conversation.
And so, that's so good that you know that about yourself too. Hey friend, I really need your help with something. I'm planning to host my very first travel retreat in 2024, and this is why. I live in DC, but I love to travel. My last few trips, I've gone to Mexico, Jamaica, the Dominican Republic, but I'm starting to get that urge to hop on a plane again very soon. And I've been thinking about what I want for myself and what I want for Friends in Beauty in 2024, and that is to make a bigger impact and build deeper connections while doing the things that we love. Like, what better way to do that than on a bomb trip, making new memories together, learning from one another, experiencing new cultures, and laying out in the sun? What I really want is for us to get into the habit of resting, recalibrating, and celebrating ourselves more. We work so hard on a day-to-day basis, and I want this experience to be an all play, no work type of vibe. You feel me? I'm ready to have some fun and I want you to come along with me. Instead of catching all the highlights on my Instagram and YouTube, all you have to do is fill out a brief 2-minute survey to let me know where we should go, what your budget is, and the best time of year and what you want to do. I'll leave the link here and below in the show notes. I am super duper excited to collaborate with you on this. Let's make this retreat happen and get your passports ready because we're getting up out of here.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, like, I don't know how other people work. Some people can just, you know, hear something, process it, move on. I have to do the deep thinking. I have to think about how something is going to affect the rest of the business and the people and our overall strategy and, you know, do that deeper thinking. So I like to just let it kind of simmer in the background.
Yeah.
But what it means is like there's no time for nonsense. And actually, I find this to be the case with other moms that I know, especially working moms. Like, there's so much that has to get done in the workday because you just don't have the time because you got to get home to your kids. And so, you know, there's no patience. It's like, speed it up, serve it up. What's the thing? Let's get to the point. Stop with the small talk. Like, and I have a lot of respect and appreciation for that because it's like, we've got shit to do, everyone, you know,
business.
Exactly. And so I think moms are really great people to hire, and to have, certainly in my company. I've seen myself like flex up as I've had kids because I love spending time with them. And so I don't have another hour to talk about this thing. We got to make a call now and we got to move on.
That's right. I love that. I'm like, maybe that'll happen to me, but if I ever become a mother, maybe that's the switch that would happen for me, because I know sometimes I always talk about how I don't know how to word it, but like the personal challenges that you have in your life could kind of like boil over to your business. So I know for me, I always tell people I'm working on it. I'm much better now, but confrontation, of like negative confrontation, is like such a hard thing for me. So I know if I had a company like yours, I would have to hire somebody to be like, go talk to them about, you know, coming late or not doing their job right, or go fire them, because it wouldn't be me.
Well, you know what, when you have to have so many hard conversations and make so many hard decisions every day. It's like a muscle. You sort of just get over it.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to embrace that as a skill, but also remember that other people aren't built that way or don't have to operate that way, and have compassion and appreciation for people, because, you know, I can do those really hard things, and I do those hard things all the time. And they're not as hard for me, I think, as for other people now, just because of that muscle is really strong, but also understanding and appreciating people that it is hard for, and having, you know, appreciation for that, as a balance, because, you know, you don't want to just be a bulldozer in life and forget to listen and to appreciate other types of ways of thinking.
For sure. For sure. This is a fun one. So when is the last time you did something for the first time? Any new experience?
All the time, constantly.
I love that.
You know, and I've been working at my company for more than 10 years. It's been a long time, but my job has changed every 4 weeks or 6 weeks. I have a completely different job because we grow, we evolve, our needs change, my needs need to change, the team composition changes, and I'm always filling in the gaps or, you know, focusing on how to up-level our operations or our culture or, you know, marketing or whatever that might be, our product. And so the second I am not paying attention is the second this like train starts to go in the wrong direction, and it can have really detrimental impact. So I try and stay on my toes as much as possible, but I do new stuff all the time. I'm in the middle of like a really complex financial audit process. That sounds boring.
It sounds fun.
It sounds boring, but it's like, you know, it's a good skill for me to have, to be able to participate in something like this, because if I ever want to run a company that's larger, you know, this is part of the skill set that you need as a CEO to do that. And so while it's not like my biggest passion, it's something that I'm learning and growing, really understanding the nuances of accounting and things like that. What else? We're scaling our marketing channels in ways we haven't done before, and so I'm getting more involved in that and learning and really thinking about the right messaging to the right audience and tying that back to the value that we're getting, so we can get more high quality customers coming to the platform, not just overall customers, and lots of like in the weeds details around how we do that. How do we drive the right client to the right professional? And not just have a successful appointment the first time, but multiple times. How do we take that consumer and introduce them to a second and third professional they're really going to like, that's non-competing, right? How do we get you to book not just your hair, but your color and your makeup and your nails and your lashes and your tanning? And you know what I mean? And so there's really interesting, it's actually data science that I'm getting really in the weeds on and is really fun. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
It sounds intense, but obviously you built for it. So the last one is, if you weren't the CEO of StyleSeat, what else could you see yourself doing right now?
Oh my gosh. That's a fantastic question. For a long time, I thought it would be a surgeon. I know this sounds crazy, but I love medicine. And I can watch like videos of surgeries. I just love it. I think it's so fascinating how the body works. And it's really, really interesting. So maybe that's what it would be. That sounds weird. I don't know if that's like a normal answer to the question, but I find it to be so, so fascinating. And I love like reading papers and studies and just getting all in, like nerding out on it. Just
Hey, I know you're enjoying the episode, but I need you to do something really, really important for me, like right now. I need you to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and let the people know how much you love the Friends of Beauty podcast. See, in the podcast streets, I'm gonna let you know something. If you don't leave a review, then people don't know that the show exists, and then the show won't grow. Reviews are so essential to the continued success of the Friends of Beauty podcast, and plus, I really just want to know what you think about the podcast. I appreciate all the DMs, but a 5-star review would be even better. I would love to read your review on the show and give you a shout out for being a loyal listener. And if it's not a 5-star review, don't even worry about it. All right, don't even worry. Just go ahead and send me an email, honey. We ain't got time for that. If you're watching me on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe, give this video a thumbs up, and even leave a comment to share a takeaway from something that you learned so far. If you don't subscribe or give a thumbs up, then the YouTube streets don't know that the Friends of Beauty podcast exists either. You see how this is going? This is a group effort, and I appreciate you so, so much. Okay, I'm done. Let's go ahead and get back into the episode.
So yeah, maybe that.
I always say I would be a plastic surgeon.
Ooh, there you go.
I'll be a plastic surgeon if I could do it all over again. But yeah, I want to go back to what I mentioned earlier, the just spanning your brand, spanning 16,000 cities, and how you have generated $12 billion in revenue just for like beauty and wellness professionals across the country. How does your vision for how you thought Style Seat was going to go compared to how it's actually turned out?
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, that's such a good question, because it's so easy to look at something from afar and say, you know, oh, that person's lucky, or look at them and this thing that they've built or accomplished, or they're the head of some company or whatever, and compare their journey to your journey, right? The reality is number one, perceptions are not reality.
Right.
And so whatever something looks like from afar is never what it is inside. And the more, it's interesting because I have a lot of girlfriends that have started companies and brands in lots of different, they could be influencers, maybe they have a line that's carried in Sephora in the beauty industry, right? I have the joy of having a lot of friends in this industry that run pretty big companies. And as I was starting my company and they were starting theirs, I had these perceptions of like, oh my gosh, they just got in Sephora, or oh, they just reached this revenue milestone or this amount of scale. And I would know my own internal struggles. And I would think, they're good at it and I'm not good at it, or I had whatever judgments I had about myself or perceptions. And then always without fail, as I've known my peers and friends in this industry, and as I've started to hear the inside stories, I've learned they were struggling. They barely got this deal. The company was about to go under and they were 5 days away, and then the thing closed, and then they didn't. Like, everyone has their own harrowing story. And it's, you know, you have to give yourself grace and know that what you see from other people or on Instagram has nothing to do with reality. And that if you have a good idea and you're being as smart as you possibly can about the execution, and you keep your mental game strong, because so much of this is mental versus skill set or experience, then you will get to where you're supposed to be. And what that place is might be different than what you think it should be or you want it to be, but it is where you're supposed to be. And those lessons have been so important for me to hear, because you know, I thought I would be at a totally different place than where I am. And where I am is pretty great. You know, and it's different. And as you're sort of like departing from where you think you should be and going to where you're going to end up, that might be heartbreaking for you. Thank you so much. I have tea now so I that I don't have another. Thank you. You know, that departure of where you think you should be going on the path that you're actually going on might feel like heartbreaking or painful. And the reality is I've had to, for myself, continue to be open and receptive and creative and have an abundant mindset and accept and find joy in the path that is. I know this isn't really answering your question, but this is like
No, I get it though.
such an important lesson that I've been like learning and embracing. And I'm so proud of what I've created. I'm so proud of this company. We've put more than $500 million into the pockets of our business owners in the past couple of years that they wouldn't have earned otherwise. That is one of the most insane facts that I've, you know, realized with this business. And we're just at the beginning. There's so much more that I want to do. But I'm also very ambitious and I want to have done more than we've already done, you know? And so there's, it's like a hard question for me to answer because I feel like every time I talk about something good that we've done in my mind immediately wants to go to, but you should be, you know,
Or the
somewhere
next
higher.
thing too.
Exactly. So, you know, this is like the struggle of the entrepreneur that all of us feel, which is the more you like think about the tenets of happiness. If you were to write down on a piece of paper, like, what do you need to be happy? You need to accept what is, live in the moment. There is no good, there is no bad, right? Like, you know, stay positive and be present and all those things. When you're starting a company, right? Whether that's a product line or you're starting out as a stylist or as a beauty professional, what do you need to be successful? You need to like be optimistic and get out there, but also be aware that you have to make rent and you have these finances that you have to do. Like you can't really live in the moment. You got to also sort of like plan for the future and you got to have a backup plan and you have to get your marketing game right so that your revenue next month and in the future months will be where it needs to be. And you got to think about your pricing strategy. It's like the opposite of, you know, happiness. And so it's the balance of those two things that I try to hold at the same time and can, you know, it can be a struggle.
It definitely can. I could totally resonate with that being a creative, an entrepreneur myself. When you talk about the mindset of just being a CEO and just having to make decisions constantly and you're running this brand, is that something that you're constantly, like a muscle that you're constantly building as far as mindset, having an abundance mindset, and th looking at things differently?
Yes, because being a entrepreneur, you have to be as scrappy as possible. You have to do more with less. You're constantly being told no from everybody. We couldn't possibly get that out in time from the engineering team and then the product team and the data team. And like everyone is sort of telling you what is possible. And you have to sort of filter from that what is really possible, right? And challenge your team to get creative and to stretch a little bit within the confines of reality and of happiness and things. You have to, if a path isn't working, you have to carve a new path into the woods. And that can be scary. And everyone by default, right? Because people like what is safe and what is known. And so you're constantly like bushwhacking where you need to go, because you gotta shift if something isn't working and you're not gonna have all the data. You're gonna have to use a little bit of data and a little bit of gut. And so at the end of the day, you have to really have a fine-tuned perspective on where you think you should end up. What is your vision? What is your goal? Stay true to yourself and your team and where you're headed. And so like my husband said this to me the other day. He's like, it's like you're on a boat going from New York to London and you chart out the path and then like the winds change. So you're not gonna like keep going on the path. Now that the winds are different, you gotta, you know, rechart your course and you gotta go further to the left to account for the wind throwing you to the right, right? And you just have to trust your instruments and your team, and your data, and just ultimately go and trust that you'll get there. And that can be hard and scary because
Yeah, the fear of the unknown.
totally,
But you'll never know unless you
completely.
do it. That's the crazy thing. It's like you still have to move. You can't stay
Yes, and you
still.
have to take joy in the adventure. You know, running companies is supposed to be fun and adventurous, and it's supposed to bring you more than you put into it, hopefully, at least over time, on average, right?
I like looking at it like
Maybe,
that, like being
yeah, maybe not month,
adventurous, being
exactly, maybe not
adventurous.
month to month, maybe there's ups and downs, but you know, on average, hopefully you look back and you say, I'm glad I spent my time doing that. What an adventure.
Yeah, I love that. What was going on in your world that made you want to create Stausi? What was happening?
You know, I felt, let's see, I was working at a television network that was run by Al Gore called Current TV that nobody watched. And we won all these Emmys and we were doing this amazing work. And I was on their tech team distributing all their content on social media, which is how most people had seen it, actually. And I remember thinking, I'm working incredibly hard. I'm here at this office until 10 p.m. every night, and I'm bringing home a salary that is fine. It's not great. And I'm putting way more into this than I'm getting out of it. And so if I'm going to spend my time working so much away from my family, away from my friends, away from the things that I would be doing, you know, I want to feel that joy on the other side of it. And neither needs to be like money or joy, right? And I just wasn't getting that back. It was like I was one part of this huge machine. So that company had like 400 people, which for me was a lot. And so I had this dream for my company, and I'd sat on the idea of Style Seat for about 2 years before I started it, because every time I would think about wanting to start the company, there would be this doubt that would pop up in my mind that was like, yeah, but you're not smart enough.
Like
You didn't go
imposter
to Harvard
syndrome a
or
little bit.
you 100%. You didn't go to Harvard or Stanford. You're not a software engineer. You're not gonna be able to start this tech company. No one will fund you. No one will work for you. And so I'd have this dream, and then I'd be like, but it's not for me, you know? And one day I was reading the blogs and I read about this new company that was starting. And I read it quickly, and it was like, I just filled in the blanks of like, this is a Style Seat like company. And the heartbreak that I felt that someone else had started this business that wasn't me, like I threw my phone across the floor and was just so mad. And what I realized in that moment is like, my fear of failure is actually less than my fear of missing out of someone else doing it and not being me.
I know that's
And the
right.
second I realized that, I was like, okay, so that's a realization. Now I'm going to take all of these feelings that I've been putting into doubting myself, and all of that energy, which is tremendous, I'm now putting into doing this because I've made the decision. And so every day I would make it my goal to do one thing, a couple of things to start that company and to get it going. And that's how I started spending my free time, my evenings, my weekends, is working on, you know, what would the product looked like. I mean, I wrote a ad on Craigslist for my first engineer to build the first version of Style Seat.
Like
And it
the
was
website
totally,
to build out
yes,
the list.
exactly the app. It was totally unhinged. It was like, I'm looking for an engineer to build an app for me. I can't tell you about the app because the company's secret and I don't have any money, so I can't pay you. So I'll give you equity in this like secret company that doesn't exist, which is insane.
I can't tell
And
you, but I need your help, and I want you to do it for free.
100%. And someone responded, and he was an engineer from Google who was a great engineer. And he said, look, I'm kind of bored. I don't want to like be fully retired, but I don't really want to have a real job. So this is kind of perfect for me. And is it cool if I do this for you and you can work for my house? And sometimes I'll disappear and like fly my airplane somewhere, but generally I'll do it. And I was like, this is my dream. And his house, I'm not kidding you, it was like a full city block. It was this huge like penthouse in San Francisco. Like, I can't even, like, I can't imagine how insane it was. Like, the audacity that it took for me to write that insane post and then for someone to respond to it. And then I went and I met him, and he's fantastic. And then now I'm working in this, like, palatial office that I'd come to. Like, it was insane. And he built the whole first version for the site, and I used what he built to fundraise, to find a technical team and to fundraise, and that's how the company got off the ground.
I love it. I love because there's so many people that I talk to who hold themselves back from doing things. And I love how you said that your fear of missing out is like greater than your fear of like just not doing the thing or just getting started. I love that. Is he still around? Like, how long did he stay on, the guy?
He stayed on for a couple of years. Yeah, I still see him. His name's Tyler. I still would see him like walking around San Francisco periodically. I think he moved for a while to like Thailand. Like, the
He's
man lives
living.
a good life. If you're
Like,
an
he's living.
early Googler, you're the early couple hundred people at Google, you're doing okay right now.
Yeah, and I'm just realizing too, like, a lot we have not because we asked not. Like, I'm sure you were like, nobody's
Yes.
gonna respond to this ad. I'm not even paying them, but you just gotta take a chance sometime. I love that.
Why not? And you know what? The sort of perspective of what are they going to do? Tell me no. Great. So I'll be exactly where I am now. Do I feel like emotionally hurt that someone didn't want to do some insane thing that I would never
Stranger.
do if they asked me? Like, you know what I mean? I think if you take that perspective and you take the attitude of might as well ask, and I wonder what will happen. Right? Those are like very simple, sort of mind shifty type of perspectives that instead of, being like, oh my God, I'm so like, I can't even believe and I don't even deserve to be here. And why
Just being
could, who
more
do I think I
optimistic.
am? Yeah, just like, hey, yo, here's a question. Would you ever consider, right? And if someone's like, no, man, you're like, oh, okay, cool. Appreciate your time. Thank you. Like, that perspective generally was a mind shift for me early in starting my business that paid off very well because in the beginning I needed a lot of support from people to start my company. I needed my friend who was a designer to design it for me for free. I needed, people to code it. I needed someone to teach me how, incorporation works and help me to find an accountant and a lawyer and all of these other things, and I appreciate my community. And I also now try to give back to that same community and pass it forward because, it's because of that that I was able to get going.
Had you had any other businesses before, any other entrepreneurial journeys before Style Seat?
No, this is my first one.
Wow, look at you go.
Yeah, well, something like that. I mean, it's interesting too, because there's people like, I know people that will start companies. They'll start companies every couple of years, or they'll have multiple companies running at once, and that's how they operate. I'm like, wow, that's amazing, because I can only do one at a time. It's like my brain doesn't work that way. But there's like someone told me something like there's founders, people that are like really good at, founding the company, setting it up. They have a million good ideas. They can get that entry level team going, spin it up. And then there are entrepreneurs that are a little more of like the operators that step in and like take it to the next level. Like, I don't have 100 ideas of me for companies necessarily, but I love the operating. I love the deep operating. I love getting into the weeds and building with the team. So I've come to embrace it. Like,
Was there anything in the beginning stages, like after he built the website, the initial website for you to get funding and all of those things, was there anything in the initial stages that was a challenge for you that almost could have hindered you from like moving
everything,
forward?
everything. It was a million tiny challenges. And it was almost that it was a million tiny challenges that became the big challenge. Like, definitely the emotional side was the biggest challenge. So, me feeling overwhelmed, like, I'd never, first of all, if I woke up one day and was like, I'm going to start the largest marketplace for beauty services in the United States. And I want it to be, a company worth X million dollars, right? That would be very challenging to wake up one day and say, how am I going to build the largest marketplace for beauty services in the United States? That's tough. But what I did that was really helpful, because that's paralyzing, is I would say, all right, if that's the end goal, let's walk back. What are the big milestones to take me to that end goal? I need to, hit this scale and have a team like this. Like, here are the milestones. I really built them out on a piece of paper and walked it back. And then I walked it all the way back to, like, all right, what's the first milestone that I need to hit? And then let's just focus on that today. Today, on my journey to launch a product, right? That's the first milestone. I'm going to find an accountant today. I can do that. I can wake up and find an accountant today. I can wake up and, do my incorporation docs, or decide what, try and find a technical partner, or whatever that might be. And I chopped it up into tiny bites. And then every day it was being really tuned into the few things that I could do to drive the biggest impact, and how efficiently and quickly and well can I do those things. And then it just becomes like, you wake up every day and you're just getting stuff done, you're seeing progress, and it's just much more manageable. And then you get joy in being able to move it along and get there. And yes, there are a million things that almost took us down, and I could tell you those stories. Like, one really dramatic moment was when we went from being entirely free to starting to charge. StyleSeat was completely free for a number of years, and I still get people that are like, "Ah, StyleSeat used to be free. Who do you think you are charging?" And I'm
I
like,
mean, times have changed.
"Hey, sorry, we got to eat
I
and pay
got two
rent and
kids.
stuff."
Okay. You didn't even
There
have kids when you
we
started. You got
go.
two big.
People won't work for me for free. It's so weird.
It's strange.
Yeah. So we were free, moving over into being paid, and I won't share too many details about this because I don't want to call folks out, but we'll just say there was a difference of opinion of how we should do this, of how we should launch monetization. And I had stuck my name out at the company and with our board members, and I had said, we're going to start charging a subscription fee to professionals. If we don't have a product that people aren't willing to pay for, then this is a fake company and we shouldn't be around anyway. Like, this will be a very good filter of if our product is good or not, because everyone says it's good right now. We have this amazing NPS score, right? This like rating from our community. But when we start asking them to pay us, that's when they're really going to tell us what's up and if it's good or not, right? So what better filter? And so we went from being free to charging $35 a month for our product. And the night before we flipped the switch, I had like a bottle of red wine. It was like 1 a.m. I was on the floor of the conference room. Like, we're gonna flip the switch tomorrow, and if no one subscribes, like, I don't have a company. I'm like telling everyone we're gonna pack it up. Like, I don't know what's gonna happen. And we'd done the testing and we'd asked all the people and
They
we'd
said
done
they
all these
would.
polls, but like, tomorrow they're gonna pay or they're not. And we'll see. And there were certain people that didn't think that anyone would pay and that I was a fool. And I was like, well, then I'm going to stick my neck out.
There's
And
only one way to find out.
there's only one way to find out. And I, like, now looking back, it's like, oh, well, of course it was successful. But I'm telling you, that fear that I felt just like drinking that wine, like, maybe this is it. Maybe this is, we got to pack it up, was real, and it was so scary. And I think I was the only one that thought that it was the right path. And looking back, it was, because at the end of the day, we needed to make money as a company to continue. And it ended up working out. But there were many of those scary moments.
And trusting your gut and your intuition
Yes.
can take you a long way, obviously, even when
Yes.
people don't agree with you. The odds are stacked against you.
And I think as women, we're not necessarily told to trust that gut and that intuition, right? It's like, go along, go along, get along, like, just go with the flow, don't ruffle feathers. Like, this is the way things are done, right? And I just didn't believe in that. I thought that being free forever is not a real company. I don't think it makes any sense. And I think as women, we have to really believe in ourselves and trust ourselves. And the reality was, is I had spent years and years and years thinking about this and talking to customers and understanding what they wanted. And I wanted to give them more. The reason why we wanted to charge is because I wanted to hire more engineers to build more things to make the product significantly better. I didn't want to just stay the same.
Yeah, I hope that explains it to everybody who was ch wondering why you wanted to charge.
That's right. That's right. I'm like, I know that you want it to be free. We all want everything to be free, but also,
The experience has been elevated, though.
I've also read this list of 10 things that you want us to do that we don't do, right? And so, looks like we
Exactly.
got some work to do.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for building awareness for on the consumer side and the service provider side if someone is doing a digital platform, and since our market is so, saturated with beauty professionals, do you have a way to stand out in that way if you're on a digital platform?
Definitely. So I would say everyone should have an Instagram. Get an Instagram. Obviously, I believe very deeply in StyleSeat. We triple your revenue on average in the first 2 years being on the platform. So typically, a stylist will join us making about $50,000 a year, and 2 years later, they're making $150,000. And it's a pretty transformative change. And the way that we get there together with them is a couple of things. One is build a robust Instagram. So many stylists come to me and they're like, oh, but I have to get the Canon camera and I have to get the fancy background and I need a person that's going to edit my. No, do it with your phone, iPhone, Samsung, whatever. Just take a photo of your clients, get their permission, take a before, couple befores, couple afters, clean background, and just get that content going. The idea is to be able to tell your client base, and not just your existing client base, your future client base, because this is what they're going to use to judge you and to understand your work. You want to show them, here's the breadth, here's all the types of services that I can do, and here's the consistent quality that you can expect when you come sit in my chair. It does not need to be glamorous. It just needs to be content that's accurate and reflective of your work and shows that you care and that you put the work in. I would make sure that you have a reviews solution. So obviously StyleSeat does this. There's other solutions that do that as well. But you want your clients like, hey, would love after your appointment, hey, would love if you would review me. We follow up with a text message to get them to leave you a review to help build that as well. But that's huge when someone is considering, when future clients are looking at your profile and they want to see what they can expect from you, that feedback from your clients is huge. And specifically mentioning the service that they get done, we tag that service that they did so that when people are looking for that specific service, they can read relevant reviews to that service. Marketing starts with your existing client base, not just with new clients. So do fantastic work, get those return bookings up, right? Because that's how you're really going to grow your revenue significantly. And then getting your clients to recommend you. So hey, would love if you have any friends, offer a deal to them. Say, hey, if you recommend someone to me, I'll give you X dollars off for every person that you bring to me. Just to give them that extra incentive to spread that word of mouth in your favor and help you grow your business. StyleSeat drives clients for you. So we actually run advertising on your behalf for your business.
Oh,
You
wow.
charge a small fee on that first appointment when that client comes in the door, it's 30%. But we're running advertising on Google, on Instagram for you. So let's say you offer box braids or blonde balayage or a certain type of hair extensions. We're running ads around those specific services, and we send clients to your profile specifically
Wow.
because you're in their city, where those clients are searching. And so we're helping to put your business in front of them. So you want to make sure that, your profile is tight when they come and they look at it and they can see everything. Services are good, pricing is good, photos are there, reviews are good. That will get your new client booking rate up. And then the higher that new client booking rate is, the more we're going to promote you and drive you to new clients.
That sounds
But typically,
fantastic.
it's great, right? Typically, you join us and then we start to surge your prices, right? We surge your prices on evenings and weekends, and it's different for every single professional on the platform. And then as you're overall starting to charge more, especially during those high demand times. Sometimes it'll turn away clients that are looking for lower price services, and they're welcome to go to other professionals that are charging less. Then we're going to supplement that with new clients that we drive to that are happy to pay those higher prices. And then you sort of let that flow for 6 months, and then you'll start to raise your base prices, which resets your surge algorithm, which, you know, might turn away maybe your bottom 10% of clients, and then we supplement that with top 10% of clients. And in the meantime, you're building your reviews and your ratings, right? And this sort of journey over time is how you can get that really transformative revenue.
I love that. As far as the people who have grown so much, tripled their income on the platform, have they, or do you know if they've had any challenges with that type of growth in their business? Like, were they able to handle the clientele increase and, things like that?
Yeah, you know, the feedback that I've heard, it's a couple interesting pieces of feedback. The first is, you know, when I mentioned you're going to price out maybe the bottom 10% of your clients, that means some hard conversations. Going back to that, right? There are some people that are going to say, hey, what's up? I've been with you for X years and you're raising your prices, and you shouldn't charge me those higher prices because we're friends. And this is where that really interesting dynamic in the beauty industry comes into play, where because we have such friendly relationships with clients, right? They feel that it's a friendship and they feel that they should get the friend price. But actually, it's a business. And especially as your skills come up and people are willing to pay more for those skills, that's just market rate, that it is what it is. And actually, Eric the barber, this barber in Atlanta who cuts my husband's hair, he said something funny to me. He said, you know, people will come to me and they'll say, hey, why can't I pay the prices I paid 3 years ago? I've been coming to you for 3 years. He goes, well, when you go shop at Neiman Marcus, do they charge you the 3 years ago prices?
Right, our
And
eggs
they're
the
like,
same price
no.
as 3 years ago.
Just because you've been shopping there for 3 years? He's like, no. And I don't either because I'm a business. And so you have to have some of those conversations, and sometimes that can be hard, but this is part of the journey of, you know, onwards and upwards, getting to the next level of your career. You're not going to take all your clients with you, and you have to understand that sometimes breaking up with some of those clients and freeing them to go find professionals maybe that are earlier in their career that are charging less, that frees up your time to now you're going to be working with more executive, you know, clientele, more professionals, more, you know, people that are a different type of client than maybe you've had before.
Because
That
then you
might
don't have
mean
to
that their
do as many
expect
services. At that time, you don't have to do as many services as you were doing.
that's right. If you choose, that's exactly right. And what that might mean, I know for Eric, he's making, I mean, I don't want to share his personal finances. He shared it with me.
He making
It's
money.
incredible. He more than tripled his revenue in that 3 year time period. And so now he's starting to think about things like, all right, I know, you know, he makes whatever it is, $100 an hour doing a men's haircut. And what he realized is that if he started to get into different types of services, for example, I'm forgetting what it's called, but when you tattoo, doing tattoo for men for bald spots, what is that called? He's like, I'm getting. He's getting trained in that because he can make like $500 an hour by doing that type of service. And so he's adding that to his roster. And that is now taking his revenue to the next level. He's learning how to sort of up his game and make more per hour. He's thinking about opening his own barbershop, et cetera. And you know, it's part of the journey. Now his objective is to maximize his revenue because that is the lifestyle that he wants to lead. That's not everyone's objective. And so I think it's important to think to yourself, am I looking for lifestyle? Work less, make the same. Am I looking for maximizing revenue? Am I looking to, you know, evolve how I spend my time? And as long as you're honest with yourself about that, make that your goal. And then think about that goal. And every couple of months, ask yourself, am I closer to that goal? What do I need to do to get there? Right? And check in with yourself to make sure that you're going down that path of where you want to be.
Yeah, I love that. Where are you from, Melody?
I'm from the Bay.
You're from the Bay.
I'm from the Bay. I'm from the East Bay. I grew up in East Bay. I grew up in Dublin, California. We are known for our women's prison. So if you're like a celebrity and you do something naughty, you usually go to jail in Dublin.
Oh my
You know, if
God.
you like get your kids into school, you pay someone to get them into school or something.
Oh, I remember that. I forgot all about that.
Oh yeah, Dublin. They all went to Dublin. And then What else are we known for? We're known for the BART, the train. They opened up the train through Dublin, so it was the end of the line for a while. That was like a
Okay.
big source of pride, but then they kept building it.
Nice.
Dublin's fancy now.
Okay. I've been to well, I stayed in San Francisco for a year, like back in 2016. I was working out
Nice.
on a play, so the Bay. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you
How
have
did
any
you like
siblings?
it?
Oh, I liked it. It was okay. It was, I didn't really feel like, I'll be honest, because I didn't see like the Hollywood sign and all those things you see on TV when they talk about California. I did
Yeah.
take a bike ride across like the Golden State, you know, bridge and all the Golden Gate. Is it Golden Gate?
Yeah. Golden Gate. Yeah.
Golden State, Golden Gate Bridge and everything. But I was like, am I really in California? Because I didn't
Oh
see
yeah.
like LA and, you know,
Oh
Hollywood,
yeah.
you know.
It's cold as hell up there and
Yeah.
the wind never stops ever.
It was a lot of homeless people.
Yes. So yes. But yeah, LA, it's a lot warmer and there's a lot more celebrities down there, that's for sure.
Yeah. Do you have siblings or anything?
I do. I have a brother actually who's in LA. He's a software developer. And then I have my sister actually moved to Atlanta with me. And she works at Styleseed. She's runs
Nice.
our product. Yeah.
I know that's right. Keep it in the family. You're like a
Yeah.
techie family, your brother, your sisters with the company. That's
Yeah.
cool. Okay. Do you have any favorite beauty brands?
Oh my gosh, so many.
Are you a beauty girl?
I love, do I love? There's 1 million. I love Byredo. I love, of course, I'm completely blanking on every single one. I love Aesop. That's like my favorite lotion. Super bougie. So nice though. Let's see. For shampoo, conditioner. What have I been using? And it's been amazing. It's gosh, I'm forgetting the name of it. I have to
Okay.
like go run into my shower. I love like curly hair shampoo, conditioner
Okay.
brands because I have like really curly hair and then I have extensions. So
Okay.
whoever's hair this was naturally also had curly hair. So you got to take care of it. I'm not answering any of your questions. I'm sorry. If I
It's
didn't have a head cold, I'd be like, here are my 10 brands that I love. And like,
okay.
of course, I can't think of anything.
It's okay. That's how I get when people ask me what I use. I'm like, I use a lot of things, so it's kind of hard for me to like pinpoint, you know, what it is. But I did want to ask you before we wrap up, I did want to ask
Yeah.
you just about the I know how it feels to want to make a big impact and want to do great things. You have big ideas, big dreams, all of those things, but not having the resources or not having the know-how to make it happen could be very daunting. Like,
Yeah.
do you have any advice for where do you just start? Like, I know you mentioned, you know, making the list and everything, but how do you even get past that hurdle of, like, I want to do this, but I don't have this to make it happen?
Yeah. I get a lot of, especially women, reaching out to me and saying, I want to fundraise. How do I raise money for this idea that I have?
Yeah.
And I always give them the answer that they hate, which is, just start somewhere. Just start somewhere and build an amazing company because if you have something, then the money will be there. The money will come. And that will be, but the harder part is actually starting. And this can be frustrating because you're like, how can I start if I don't have any money to start? There are so many more resources now than they were 13, 14 years ago when I started my company to start a business. Shopify is fantastic, right? There are ways where you can get something going, even from your home, make it yourself, get your friends and family involved, start a brand, and just get something going. And start small and be really proud about the small moments because I'll tell you there's two reasons why it's important. The first is to just get something going because you're going to learn so much along the way, but also, when you're involved in every single piece of the beginning, because you have to be because you're that scrappy, then you are going to, no one can fuck with you when you start to get bigger and you grow more. And by that, I mean, if you're not as involved in the beginning, let's say you start with a pile of money. There's some people that have the benefit of being able to start a company and they already have resources and they already have all these people. They still have to get to product market fit. And if the CEO, the founder, is not as involved in every single bit of the creation of that thing, they're less attached to it and they're less able, in my opinion, to really take it where it needs to be or when that company hits a bump in the road to continue to guide it towards the right path. So, you know, I was a French major, an international relations major. I was not a software engineer and I run a tech company. And yet no one can mess with me because I know more about every single piece of the performance of my company, the financial performance of the company, what drives impact. I've played every role at this business. I have led the engineering team for a long time. I have been like the designer. I have been head of customer success. I've been the only customer success rep, right? Like I've done all of the roles and still stay pretty close to a lot of them. So that now as I scale and we get bigger, when people push back or if I need to adjust, I have like this intimate knowledge of how the company has been created, right? So I know how to do it. And that will never change. And one other thing that I'll say is now that I've done it, and I've done it the hardest, the longest way possible, I know that I can do it again. And the first time that I started my company, I had this perspective of like, oh, I'm so lucky to even be in the room with these investors that have this incredible reputation or this engineer who's so good at what they do, or like everything felt like, wow, I'm so lucky to whatever.
Yeah.
And looking back, it wasn't luck. It was a lot of things. It was determination. It was hard work. It was, you know, a lot of things. It wasn't luck. But now, you know, I also have this fear of like, if someone takes it away, if this thing doesn't swing in our favor as a company, like we're gone. And then, you know, that's my only shot. Now I know about it. Now I know because I've done it, I can do it again. And that confidence makes the difference in how I operate and how I show up with my team and how I show up with my board and with my investors and community. And I think it really plays into our favor and strength as a business. But you can only kind of get there and get that like confidence by having, you know, been through the fire. And so don't shortchange yourself. Like that fire is gonna get you where you want to go.
Yeah, and I really like that because I think just the age that we're living in with social media it just could seem like the CEO style seat can't possibly be hands-on in the business. I'm sure she's on the island somewhere just enjoying it. So it could seem like, you know, it just seems like everything is just so wrong. That's why I like having these conversations because people they aspire to so much, but don't realize what it takes. And sometimes what it takes, I don't know how to say it. Sometimes what it takes, they just don't know that it's just what you have to do. It's a part of the process.
So. Well, and there's this perspective on TikTok and social media of like, I want to, or like I'll talk to cosmetology students. I was at a school the other like week or two ago talking to students. And there was like this, like, well, how do I get to be the most famous stylist in the world or whatever? There's this wanting to leapfrog the doing and the hard work and the skill building to get to the outcome. And it's like, you don't want to shortchange yourself that because the gift, honestly, and everyone's going to hate to hear this, the gift is in the doing and the showing up every day and solving the hard problems and being there for your team and being in the trenches and the building. That is the gift. It's not the selling the company 20 years later. You're not going to feel the joy of the culmination of 20 years in that moment. You're going to feel that joy a little bit every single day in the building.
I love that. What do you want your legacy to be with StyleSeat for the industry?
You know, I don't care about legacy. I know people talk about this. I really don't care. I don't care if nobody knows who I am or whatever. I have felt such a joy in building this company. And I want this company to have huge impact. I want to put more money into the pockets of beauty professionals. I want to connect more clients and professionals. I want to make this industry feel more joyful because I want to build technology that does all of the financial, day-to-day business, taxes, like revenue stuff, so that people can show up and have fun with their clients and do amazing work and feel joy and financial success as creative professionals. And if we can do that, and we can do that at bigger scale, I want to do that for the whole world, then I'll be happy.
I love that. Is there anything that's coming up next that you can share?
Oh my gosh. A lot of things, like there's a lot of features and stuff. We're gonna be launching deposits soon for Style Seek. We're gonna be launching a bunch of really cool payment stuff. We're gonna be driving a lot more clients in the coming months than we have in the past, which is gonna be fun. So we're doing a lot more marketing and scaling that up a lot. We're gonna be launching a bunch of new features. And then there's some other bigger things that I can't talk about quite yet, but soon.
We'll stay tuned. I've been loving this conversation. I barely want to let you go, but I have to ask you the Friends of Beauty rapid fire questions real quick before I let
Okay,
you
let's do
go.
it.
So the first one, if you need to elaborate, that's fine. The first one, what are the top three keys to your success so far?
Oh my gosh. Self-care. You got to have your mind right to be able to show up and do your best every day. Second is finding joy in what you do every day because it's hard. And the hard stuff never ends. And I'd say build up your muscle for doing hard things and having hard conversations. Like build it up because then you can do more, you can make decisions faster. You don't struggle in the day-to-day. You sort of pile through it and that will give you confidence and joy and
Okay. How do you measure your success?
I measure my success two ways. One is personal satisfaction. Am I getting joy in what I do? Do I still love what I do? And the second is, are we having impact in the world? Are we growing our community? Are we making them more money? Are we making clients happy? How many connections are we making? Like, are we growing?
Nice. What's the best advice you've ever received or piece of advice that's always stuck with you?
Yeah, one piece of advice, which is to know yourself. So there's like the idea of who we think we are, and then there's who we actually are. And the more you know who you actually are, the more you can hire people around you that complement your weaknesses, the more you cannot spend your time doing stuff that you're not good at or you don't like doing, the more you can just focus on what gives you energy and joy, and you can let go of the rest. That's always stuck with me.
I love that. What advice would you give to another beauty tech startup right now who is just struggling to get things
Oh,
off the ground and they're just like,
yeah.
I'm not going to do this. I'm ready to quit. Forget it.
First of all, I'll say it's hard times. It is a very challenging time to start a company in this industry. But you absolutely can do it. Don't feel overwhelmed by what you don't know. There's so much education out there. There's so many people that would love to talk to you and help you build a community of other entrepreneurs, that are doing what you're doing at different stages, that are more successful than you or have been in the industry for longer, and also those that are just starting out with you. So you have someone to call or text if you have a hard day, because that stuff, like keeping your confidence up and staying focused, is what it's about, and just taking steps every single day. So build a community, have fun with it, have joy. This is such a fun industry to be in. And also know that if you're struggling, it's hard. It's hard for everyone. It's not just you. There is no easy way. So you will do it. You will be successful. Just keep your head forward.
Keep your head forward. What is a resource that helps you in your business that you could share with the Friends and Beauty community?
Oh, that is wonderful. Let's see. These are good questions. Jeez.
Thank you. Thank you.
Resources. I would say, like, I love to understand what's going on in the industry. I think reading industry news, listening to podcasts about what other people are thinking, trends, ways to grow your revenue. There's a lot of podcasts or with business educators in the beauty space, talking about all of the like soft skills, hard skills, best practices. listen to those when you're on your way to work or, in between clients or on your lunch break. Like, you don't have to be too intense about it, but just like keeping your knowledge growing and hearing stories about what's worked for others to inspire you to take that back to your own life. I think that's huge.
Absolutely. So the last one, I just want you to fill in the blank and just say, my name is blank, and the key to longevity and success is blank, whatever you think it is.
That's a good one. My name is Melody McCloskey, and my key to longevity and success is grit and creativity.
Grit and creativity. I love this. This is
Yeah.
such a complete honor and a pleasure to meet you, to talk to you, to learn all about Stalseed, learn about you. This is, my mind is blown right now. I don't even know what my life is right now, because when I first started as a makeup artist, I'm not on Stalseed currently, but that was one of the things that was recommended to me when I first started off as a makeup artist. I don't even want any more clients, right? I'm scared to get on Stalseed because I don't even want, I'm so focused on the podcast, but just to meet you and just, it's kind of full circle. When I finished makeup school, they're like, get on Stalseed, get your clients. Now I'm talking to the CEO. So before you go, please share like your social media or however you want people to stay connected with you, get on Stalseed, whatever you want to share.
Easiest way for sure is Instagram. My Instagram is at Melody.
Which is
And
so cool
then
because you must have got on there like when Instagram started to
real
grab that
early,
handle.
real early. That's right. And then Stalseed is at Stalseed if you want to follow us there. And I would say, like, feel free to reach out, comment. That would be amazing. And then we can also get a code for your listeners to get a discount on Stalseed. So we'll go ahead and get that over to you as well.
Yes, I would love that. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Yay, thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on. This was wonderful, and it was great to chat with you.
Thanks for listening to the Friends in Beauty podcast. Don't forget, sharing is caring. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with another friend in beauty. Give it a thumbs up and subscribe, rate, and leave a 5-star review so that other friends in beauty can find the show. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Connect with us on all social media platforms at Friends in Beauty, hashtag Friends in Beauty to join the conversation, and join our Friends in Beauty Facebook community to stay connected. Talk to you soon.